I'll also ask for your prayers as we continue through our series in the book of Exodus. So we are starting on week number 2 of probably a 10 to so odd week series on the book of Exodus. The first week was last week, and we went through chapters 1 and chapter 2, talking about how God works in the small things. How God took the family of Joseph, who's about 70 individuals when we come to the book of Exodus, and grew that family, even in the midst of turmoil, into the 2.4 or so million individuals they believe the nation of Israel was when they came out of Egypt. We then spoke a little bit about our pal Moses, who began as a baby, put into a river, and sent down to end up a part of Pharaoh's family, to then betray, well, not betray, to then murder an Egyptian and have to go out to Midian to serve in the wilderness. And that's where we're going to catch up today, is in Exodus chapter 3. But I want to encourage you all to be reading through the book of Exodus together. Chapters 1 and 2 are pivotal in the story of what God is doing. Chapter 3 today is where we're going to find ourselves. And the goal of this entire series is for us to be reminded of God's unchanging faithfulness from the past into the present. Would you pray with me as we continue this morning? Heavenly Father, I pray that in this moment we are whisked off into your throne room, that we recognize the holy ground in which we stand. Lord God, may we still see that you are still with us, you are still speaking, and you are still rescuing. That you are an individual who yearns to be with us. That God, you are as close as a breath. And I pray that we do not take it for granted our ability to worship and praise you. Lord, for those of us in this room who feel like you have turned your face from us, may we come to see you with all clarity today. Please be with us, Lord, as we continue to worship your holy name. It's in the name of Jesus I pray all of these things. Amen. Our reading together for today is out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and it's quite a bit of scripture. And so buckle up and let's read this together. It says, "Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. And he said, 'Moses, Moses!' And Moses responded, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place with which you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out there?' And God said, 'I will be with you. This will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship me, worship God on this mountain.' Moses said to God, 'Suppose I am to go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them?' And God responded and said, 'I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, the Lord and the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" That is a lot of scripture. But for us, it's a beginning to see this holy ground in which Moses is standing on, to see what is happening in this early book in the book of Exodus. This is a very important chapter in the book of Exodus. This is where God's presence is brought to earth. This is where God is fully right there before Moses and gives him the task in which he will take. And this is also the song, the part of the book that brought the song upon it. The Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh baby, let my people go. Huh, come on, y'all can do it with me, right? It's a great, great VBS song if you were ever a part of that in your lifetime. But this passage is so important for us to see today. See, Moses goes from fugitive to a divine appointment. Moses has escaped Egypt because he killed an Egyptian guard. And Moses was tending to the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. He's been out here for a while. He's in the wilderness. He encounters God at Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God. And he encounters him in this burning bush. This burning bush that's not being consumed, but yet Moses is so captivated by it that he just draws near. Like all good men, let's just be honest. We get distracted by the shiny thing and we walk towards it. And so he goes and he's fascinated with this bush, and all of a sudden the bush begins to speak that God is drawing near to him just as he is drawing near to God. I actually use this passage of scripture when I talk to men who during the fall, right around that, you know, late September, early October time range, and they're like, hey, pastor, I'm not going to be at church because I'm going to be hunting. And they say, well, I encounter God in the wilderness. And I was like, well, Moses did too, but I don't know if you necessarily want that same kind of encounter. Like, I'm waiting for the guy to come back and say, Andy, a deer was talking to me, and I walked close to it. You know, I just, something of God's presence. Of course, God can speak and is present in the wilderness as well. What I found interesting of this story early on is if it's your first time reading through the book of Exodus, you can kind of get confused at some of the conversation that's happening. So there's this burning bush. Why? Well, because it's out of the ordinary. It's out of the ordinary, not necessarily that it's burning, because it's in a desert and there's probably an opportunity for things to burn because it's dry, but that it's not being consumed. And so Moses goes over to this burning bush and it begins to speak to him. It calls him by name. But specifically, God asks him, Moses, take off your sandals, for you are on holy ground. This part of the passage would be weird to us today, because we'd be like, why would God ask somebody to take off their shoes? Like, he's standing in dust no matter what. He's going to be standing in dirt no matter what. But it's part of the culture of that day. It's also why, if you're one of these families, you know, you ask people to take shoes off before they come into your house, not because necessarily it keeps it clean, but if you know the real reason why, it's because you will tend to stay longer. So God is telling Moses not only to take your shoes off because you're on holy ground, but it's to say, take your shoes off and be a while. Be in my presence. Be present with me. Have no distraction, ultimately. He's saying, I want you to be here for a while. I want you to remain in my presence. This taking off your sandals shows that you're not going anywhere. Instead, you're going to stay. That you have no other plans. This is what was meant by then. If they took their sandals off, they were not just strapping them back up to go run out to the grocery store or to go run off somewhere. If they were taking their sandals off, it was a symbol that they were going to stay for a while. And I'll tell you, holy ground is very important to so many of us. I've heard some of you speak about how different locations are holy ground for you. For me, a couple of spaces come to mind when I think of holy ground. First, Camp Pine Eden, where kids camp is. It's holy ground for me. It's where I came to have a beginning stages and cultivate a relationship with Jesus as I was a part of kids camp as a young kid. And it matters so much to me that some of you caught me up there throughout the week. I can't stay away. I go up there to visit the kids camp every year, multiple days, because it's a space for me where God's presence is so close. Another example of holy ground for me would be Wilmore, Kentucky. That's where the seminary that I attended was. It's also where the revival happened back in 2022. And there's still feelings and moments of just God's presence so palpable that almost you can just taste it in the air. And so it's holy ground for me. There were men when I worked at the Valley Rescue Mission who found the Howard Mott building where the homeless men downtown at the Valley Rescue Mission can stay. And I remember specifically one day I was out in the little smoking area. There's a little outdoor kind of like cul-de-sac almost right in the middle of the building. But it's where a lot of the guys would go out to have a smoke break. And I was sitting out there, and there was this guy named Christos. And Christos was very quickly, as we were sitting in the, we were sitting on these like log benches that they had, but our feet were in the dust of where men had just sat there for years and years ahead. He was taking his shoes off. And I remember being like, brother, you're already kind of dirty. Like, why are you taking your shoes off? And he said, I don't know. I just feel the presence of God here, and I feel like I need to be here for a while. So there's this moment of holy ground, staying in the presence of God. And so for us, we can wonder, we can think that we need to make this trek to the Mount Horeb today or Mount Sinai and be in the presence of God. Or for some of us, we feel like we need to go to Israel and walk the same steps of Jesus to then be on holy ground. But I want to challenge you that holy ground is present for us today just as much as it was for Moses. And so what makes holy ground for us? Well, first, holy ground is made via presence, God's presence, God's full presence. In the verse 2, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames from within a bush. And it just shows that God's presence was present in a place that Moses went all the time with that shepherd's flock. So God's presence. We see that fire specifically is representative of God's presence, his holy presence to be exact. We see in Isaiah, one of my favorite stories is Isaiah 6, where Isaiah is whiffed off into the throne room of God, and he stands before God and he sees the seraphim, which are called the burning ones. And they bring a flaming coal from the altar of God to his lips because he says, I'm a man of unclean lips in a nation of unclean lips, and they purify him there. We see the purifying presence of God in that space. We see in Daniel, there's this throne of fire that he shares about that's there of the presence of God. In Ezekiel, you see like this fire-wrapped glory all around the presence of God. We see in Elijah, the presence of God coming to take Elijah to heaven is seen as a flaming chariot. We see in the book of Revelation, Jesus's eyes are aflamed. And so you see fire all the time representative of the presence of God. It's the same fire that lives within us when we say, may the fire of the Holy Spirit be stoked within you. When I anoint people but for healing, and I carry anointing oil with me usually, I anoint them and I say, I'm going to anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I do a sign of a cross on the forehead. And I often pray that God would light that space on fire. And what I mean by that is not necessarily that they all of a sudden become a superhero and they get lit on fire like the Human Torch, but instead that his presence would be so palpable that it would be like fire. In Acts, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples, it comes down like a flaming tongue. I mean, fire, fire, fire. That's always seen as God's presence. And so guess what, oh Christian? When you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes in you. The fire of God lives within you. This is why you get passionate about certain things. This is why when talking about Jesus, the flame should stoke inside because you're seeing the work of God and the presence of God in your own life. So what makes holy ground? God's presence. And guess what? We've got that. That's what lives inside our hearts. That's what lives within us as the fire of God's Holy Spirit. When God is present in all of his holiness, it burns away the impurity in the purifying holiness of God. His fire is at work in us. This is why the Holy Spirit is something that should convict you of sin. This is why the Holy Spirit's at work. It's an offensive tool as much as it is present and defensive with you. So God's presence is what makes holy ground. God's words is what also makes holy ground. We see him speak to Moses, and he says in verses 4 through 6, it says, when the Lord saw that Moses went over to look, God called to him from within the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I'm the God of your father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God did this cool thing where his presence is with Moses in the burning bush. And before Moses even knows it, God is calling out to him. God is saying, Moses, Moses. God is calling out to him. God's affirming this covenant that will come. When in scripture, when you see a name twice, it's like, attention, attention. You know, it's like it's screaming at you ultimately. Like you're going to be called into the next stage of your faith. I mean, God does this often with the people that he calls. One of the most famous stories you may know of as your childhood was the Samuel conversation, when Samuel's asleep in Eli's temple and he hears Samuel, Samuel. He just wakes up and goes to Eli. I mean, there's so many moments throughout scripture where God calls individuals, and when he's talking to them, he often calls them twice to affirm them those things. So God's words are so important. God's calling us as his body, his bride of Christ, to be present in his presence, but also he's calling us by name today. It speaks about his words. We have his living word as a Bible. It says in that Bible that his words will be imprinted on your hearts. I mean, there's so much conversation of God's word being active in our lives. There's so much conversation of his word being a full presence in our lives. It's not just the fire of the Spirit present with us, but it's his word that's with us as well. I used to walk around high school and going into college, I would always carry my fat leather Bible with me. And it wasn't just because I walked by some ding-dongs and slapped them on the head and said the name of Jesus. It wasn't for that, though there were times where I wanted to take that book upside someone's head for sure. But it was just moments of, I want his word to be as present with me as a breath. I want it to be at my right hand. I want to be able to flip this thing open and know that God is living and well. We have God's word in your pocket. Most of you have an app of God's word on your phone, and it will read it to you. We have the greatest bit of knowledge of God's word we've ever had, but yet statistics will show we're probably the least knowledgeable when it comes to the word of God. So God's words are present in his presence, on his holy ground. God is present. And then the third thing, what makes holy ground? What makes this holy ground specific? God's presence, God's words, and God's compassion. In this moment, God is doing something. He's not just showing up to say, hey, Moses, how you doing? He's not showing up for a casual conversation. He's showing up with a purpose, but also to have compassion on his people. It says, the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people of Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I even add in the Cellulites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. God is present. He sees the enemies. He's going to deliver you from the hand of these individuals, is what he's telling Moses. His compassion is there. What he says in this passage is four things. He says, I've seen, I have heard, I am concerned, and I have come down. And so his Holy Spirit, his holy ground, is his present, his word, his presence, his words, and his compassion. He sees you. He hears you. He's concerned, and he comes to us. This was the first thing I saw from pastor friends of mine in Texas following the flood. How do you preach that in the midst of suffering? Well, because God sees, he hears, he's concerned, and he will come down. And the greatest victory of his is the fact that death, hell, and the grave has no stand, and that all of eternity, his followers will be with him in paradise. That those kids that sadly today, lost their lives, are already in the throne room of heaven praising our God. That is the hope. That's the compassion. That's the stuff that God shares with his people, is that I've seen, I've heard, I'm concerned, and I have come down. Holiness is not, holy ground is not something that's very distant. It's not something that we have to go to. We don't have to go to Israel to experience this. It's something that draws so close to us. It's our time of prayer together with God. It's God's presence being fully enveloped in us. It's the Spirit at work. We have holy ground living inside of us. So take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. This is the pattern of God's presence. This is the pattern of God's presence. This exact moment is what God does throughout all of Scripture. His presence with his people is the guaranteed. He does not offer us the healing of everything in the moment the way we want it, but he always offers to be with us in the midst of it. And so God shows his presence is going to come again and again and again. To Moses, he specifically tells him, this will be my promise to you, that you will worship me on this mountain again. And so how many of us would get clarity? You know, Shane, I'm looking at you, but how many of us would get clarity if God looked at you and said, Shane, in about 10 years, you're going to worship me right back in this room or right back wherever it is. You're going to be here. You would know that from now until 10 years, no matter what came against me, the devil cannot win, and I am on fire for it, right? So Moses hears God say, you're going to worship me again. Your people are going to worship me on this mountain. And so we would think that you would charge headlong into that. And so many of us know that that's the hope of the gospel. That's what Revelation shows us, is that at the end of days, we will be back in God's presence worshiping him. So no matter what the devil brings against us, we can defeat it. The devil has already lost. He lost at the cross. He thinks he wins. That's the way he gets to you. He's already lost. And so no matter what the world brings, we are in holy ground. We're going to be with God in his presence. That his presence is promised. We see this all throughout the scriptures. We see in the book of Exodus, spoiler alert, you're going to see the tabernacle be built. And that's where God's presence will go along with his people as they move through the wilderness. It's going to be so present that they will see a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud added to it. And then when God's presence comes in the tabernacle, it will be such a weighted presence that only a certain person could enter in. And this is going to be Aaron, our dear friend, the high priest. We see this throughout scripture, though, even further. You see the Ark of the Covenant is carried with the people of God. They would carry this ark even into battle as they would go, because the presence of God was with them. And when the presence of God was with them, they were beating the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hebusites, Jebusites, Cellulites, all the things. They're beating them. We see the temple of God be built in Jerusalem as a space for God's presence to be found. We see then Jesus comes as the presence of God with his people in flesh and blood. And then finally, we see that God's presence then even comes in a vastly more profound way through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in each and every one of us. Oh, friend of God, you have the presence of God inside of you. Jesus shares when he goes on to be in heaven, he said, it's good that I leave, because the advocate will then come and you will be able to do more powerful things than even I. We have the presence of God with us. John 1 verse 14 talks about even as Jesus tabernacled among us. It means his presence is among us. So the holy place now is wherever God is. And if you claim the name of Jesus, you are where God is at. We are where God is at. This space right here is where God is present. And so let's take off our shoes. We're on holy ground. This isn't where God even stops in this passage. And this isn't the only thing I want to talk about in this passage. I want you to recognize the holy ground that's inside of you, that's with us as followers of Jesus. But I also want you to see how powerful God is. Because Moses, the hero of our story, hears all of this, and he would have heard all of this from his mind space, which would have been, man, God is present with me, and he's talking to me just like he talked to Abraham. And he just called himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know those stories so well. God's going to do something amazing. Like, he would have been captivated by the story because he knew his forefather's story. And so Moses hears God speaking through a burning bush, like this miracle that's already happened in his face. And Moses' response, rather than being like, woo, let's go, Moses' response is, who am I? Who am I? We see this in verse 11 of chapter 3. Who am I? He has these feelings of inadequacy. Who am I to go before the Pharaoh? And I dare say that we as people, we as Christ followers, we as individuals who have the presence of God living inside of you, have the exact same answer as Moses. We say, here I am, God, but send someone else, rather than here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, use me. And then we pray 2 weeks later because we feel like we're being used. Or I've had people that in the church, they're like, hey, I want to help. I want to volunteer. I want to give. I want to be a part of this team that's going to talk about the next step of the church and where God's kingdom is. And we start talking about it, and they're like, oh, that's too many meetings. I don't know if I want to go to all those meetings. I don't know that I really have the prayer life to develop. I'm like, man, like, let's do this thing. We have the presence of God inside of us. Let's be game changers in our city, in our society. And so we do this all the time. I'm sometimes the worst of this, of God, I'm not able to do this. God, I'm not fit for this role. God, I don't know how to do this. God, I don't know enough. God, I'm not worthy. And I mean, I know some of you think the same way. And so we think, I am not enough. I am not worthy. I don't know enough. And what God's response to Moses is Ayer, Asher, Ayer, which means I am who I am. And it's this beautiful reminder of God is not asking anything from Moses other than obedience. God is not asking anything from Moses other than obedience. He tells him, I'm going to go with you. And guess what? The sign of me going with you is that you're going to be right back here worshiping with me on this mountain. And Moses' response is, I'm not good enough. I am who I am, and I'm going to use you. Ayer, Asher, Ayer. It doesn't even just mean I am who I am. The Hebrew there doesn't span time the way we see our time of our language. Ayer, Asher, Ayer means I was who I was. Grammar is probably poor. I apologize. I was who I was. I am who I am. And I'm going to be who I'm going to be. It means God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It literally brings all of that up to say, I am enough. Will you just say yes, Moses? God is not looking for ability in any of us, but he's looking for availability from all of us. As a church body, he just wants us to say yes. And he will do the work. That's the best part about being a pastor. None of it depends on me. Is that it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all the convicting of God. It's all the power that God has. I just have to be the vessel that makes myself awkward sometimes. Because I pray over people or we're going to move in a direction that just doesn't even seem like it's the direction we're going to go. But God's going to bless it in the midst of it. God is telling Moses in the Ayer, Asher, Ayer, I am who I am. He's saying it's not about who you are, it's about who I am. And so for us today, I think we have to recognize holy ground is all around us. Holy ground is everywhere you walk. Holy ground is as you walk into your workplace that drives you nuts on a Monday morning that you can take your sandals off because God's presence is with you. Holy ground is when you go to lunch after this, and we probably won't beat the Baptists. And you can be upset, but knowing that God's presence is there to give you some, maybe some grace for the people that are ahead of you as you wait in line at Countries. Holy ground is present. God's presence with you. God's word that's written on your heart and God's compassion because he sees, he hears, he's concerned and he comes down. And then finally, when you are so defeated because you feel as though you're still not worthy, even though you have God's presence within you, you have to remind yourself, God is always the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he says to us today, Ayer, Asher, Ayer, I am who I am. Will you say yes and stop hiding the presence of God in your life, but instead walk into that space being lit ablaze with the fire of God?